is Jason Bell from the NFL Show, and you are listening to the Franchise Tag Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. I hope you're doing all okay. Lockdown version 2, part 2. We're in full swing of it now. We had our first weekend where if you're lucky enough to be furloughed or if you're unlucky enough to be furloughed, you got to be able to watch all the game, every touchdown, every snap. Oh, it was a lot of fun. I drank too much beer. I've not done it in a while. I had a stinking hangover next day, staying up watching the Steelers v. the Cowboys game and obviously having to drink a lot more beer to get me through the ordeal of the Steelers v. the Cowboys game. But don't worry, while we wait for next week's American football to start again, next week's NFL, while you're in lockdown, you can listen to the Franchise Tag Podcast for the old fan, the new fan and the UK fan. Follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram with the Franchise Tag Podcast handle, on Twitter with the handle Franchise Tag UK. You can DM us on there if you want to get in contact with us or email us at thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes Podcast where you can leave a rating and a review, and we are on Spotify as well. But if you don't have these platforms, don't worry about it. It's okay. You can go onto our website, www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. We had Jacob from the Scoop and Score podcast over in Iowa come on last week. He chatted about his New England Patriots, about all things NFL. But we have our very own fantasy guru, Andrew, joining me today. We're going to be talking about his New York Giants, and we're going to be talking about if the playoffs began today after week 9, we're halfway into the season, what the Super Bowl picture would look like and who would maybe win the Super Bowl. Going to talk about some of the awards maybe for MVP players as well with Andrew. Of course, we can't have Andrew on without talking about fantasy football at the end there. So Andrew, how are you doing? How's lockdown version 2 going for you so far?
Hi Fred, thanks for having me on again. Feels like I've not been away since the last time we were recording in lockdown. It's the same old drill for me. As we said before, I'm in hospitality, so all my sites are shut. I'm at home. I've got the laptop out. I'm trying to do some work, but it ain't fun. So I'm so glad we've got the NFL to keep us busy.
Yeah, it's probably the only plus and bonus, apart from being paid furlough whilst not doing anything. Obviously, that's a bonus for everybody. But obviously, being able to not miss any NFL games, being able to see every touchdown, every play, getting that red zone, watching, what does he say, 6 hours of uninterrupted football? Is that it? 6 or 7? I can never remember.
I think it's more than that. It's virtually from 6 o'clock all the way up till midnight, isn't it? So
yeah, exactly. Thank God for Scott Hansen keeping us company on a Sunday, as well as our partners, I suppose. Well, let's dive right into it. Let's talk a little bit about your New York Giants. So obviously, Giants fan for a very long time, as we know. Giants at the moment 2-7, fourth in the NFC East, but so easily could be top of the NFC East, or the NFC Least, as people are calling it at the minute. A, quite frankly, truly poor division at the moment. The Eagles at the top of that, 3-4-1. Washington football team at 2-6. The Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys at 2-7. And yourselves at 2-7. It could easily be the other way around here, I think, for the New York Giants. You know, you've lost to the Steelers, the Bears, the 49ers, the Rams, the Cowboys, the Eagles and the Bucks. Obviously, two wins both coming against the Washington football team. You could still win this division easily. I mean, if you look at some of them scores, rather than 2-7, you could easily be 7-2. Sum up how your season has been so far as a Giants fan.
It's a bit of a frustrating one, especially with how poor that division has been, especially with two of the games that we've played, especially that we lost in the last dying seconds of the game that were both against divisional rivals. We could be cementing ourselves at the top of that league already. And with the schedule we've got coming up, I think we could have put our place booked our place in the playoffs already. So it's a bit of a frustrating one. We are probably noted as the worst team in that division, despite how poor everyone else is playing. But I think that's a bit harsh. I think we have done better than what the record says.
Yeah, you've got the Eagles coming up next weekend, then the Bengals, the Seahawks, the Arizona Cardinals, the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Dallas Cowboys. I actually did some research earlier on some of the teams for sort of bottom of the pack in the NFL for another podcast, looking at, you know, looking at the bright side for all the teams that have got pretty poor records. And what it looks like with the NFC East is a lot of their schedules were very, very good at the start of the season and are getting very, very hard towards the end, the back end of the season. I mean, this Eagles game is going to be a big one next weekend, and it's all to play for, really. Again, you could easily go and beat the Bengals, the Seahawks, Cardinals, Browns, Ravens, Cowboys. That is a tough fair few weeks to close out the season. But what's crazy about the NFC East at the minute is any four of these teams could win this division still.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's next week is the week coming up is definitely the big game for us. If we can beat the Eagles, then it definitely puts us in the hunt again. And like I said, you've said it's a tough schedule, but the Bengals are on a rebuild. Sometimes they look fantastic. Their defense sometimes looks a bit shaky, so that could be a good game for us with how strong our defense has been lately. It's the perfect time to play the Seahawks with the amount of losses that they've got in their team. They're banged up and beaten up. So we've got, I quite like the ending schedule for us, other than the Ravens, which look real good. I'm quite happy with the finish, and we could push to win that.
What I heard earlier on some YouTube video or podcast that I was listening to is that, I agree with this, as the season is progressing, the Giants are getting better. And someone earlier, when I was listening to one of these podcasts or YouTube videos, said that they're feel a little bit like the Miami Dolphins of last year. You know, not great record, losing games, you know, not getting the wins, not being particularly amazing, but are on the right direction, and that players are buying into the coach's mentality and how he wants to play. This team is clearly, without Saquon Barkley, very hindered. That Saquon Barkley is the key to the New York Giants offense. But do you think the players are buying into the Joe Judge mentality, to his coaching scheme? He did a lot of what people deemed as strange things in the offseason before the start of the season in training, with tying tennis balls to people's hands and whatnot. I have no idea. I just briefly saw that in an article. But do you think that people are buying in? And as a fan, are you buying into Joe Judge?
I mean, yeah, I don't think he's really, I don't think he's really done anything wrong. As far as the season's gone so far, I think he's been in a lot of games, which is a testament to how well he's adapting to being a head coach and calling plays and keeping himself in the game with his tactics. So I think you can really tip your hat that for him for a first year and never being a head coach. So I'm buying into his system. And last year, I thought our defense was an absolute embarrassment. And he seems to have sorted the issues out there. The defense looks really strong now. I've always liked a lot of the names that we've got on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, losing Saquon, like you said, is a massive, massive loss. But going forward, there's a lot of youngsters on this team. I think the offense is very young, and that's definitely a platform to build. And looking at the teams we're staying in games with, such as the Rams and the Buccaneers and teams like that, if we can keep up with them, then I think going forward, we could potentially be a team to watch out for in the future with Joe Judge.
Well, that's the thing. I think that there is elements to stepping up as a team. You know, clearly Giants this year, it's, you know, without Saquon, it's a rebuild, it's new head coach, it's baseline. If you can then improve this offseason, you then go into, well, you're beating the teams that you should beat, and you're getting some of them wins against the teams that may be on the par with you, but you're still losing to the bigger teams. You then, the year after, you're easily beating the teams that are poorer than you. You're inching the wins that you should be, that, you know, could be against equal teams, and then you're taking down some of the bigger teams. And that's something we've seen with, like, the Las Vegas Raiders, for example. They seem to be doing that perfectly. They are now in games with every team. They've rebuilt in a really good, systematic way. With looking at the rebuilding at the future, I mean, when we go into the offseason, there's not loads of cap room at New York. According to Over the Cap, in 2021, you'll be 16th in the league in cap space, and you've not got loads of draft picks. You've got one first rounder, one second rounder, a third rounder, a fourth rounder, two sixth round picks, and a seventh round pick. Do you see this rebuild going in the right direction? And if so, if it, obviously this is a rebuild, but what direction would you like it to go in? Is there particular areas on this team that you think they need to target in the offseason and in the draft?
It's a difficult one for me to look at. I've always, like I said, last year I was very hot on them getting some big name defenders, but like I said, I'm really, really happy with the names they've got in there and how well they're gelling and clicking. I think I like Devontae Freeman. I think he's been a really good stepped into the shoes of Saquon Barkley quite nicely. Obviously, we're not getting the same production, but I think he's doing a good job. So I don't think we need a lot of pieces as a big rebuild. Like I said, there's a lot of youngsters there. I think they all just need time to adjust to NFL life and have a couple of seasons under their belt. So I think it's just strengthening those key positions. So I would say, you know, if your team is going to rely on Saquon, or it's going to rely on Evan Ingram or a wide receiver or a top name defender, I'd say you go out in the draft and make sure you've got a really, really talented young talent backup for that specific position. And I think that's because you never know who's going to get injured. We've seen that this year. We've seen it in previous years. And if you do lose one of your big names, I think that's, you know, this year we lost Saquon. We had no replacement whatsoever. And I think that's where you need to sort of look at, if he goes down, if he gets injured, if he's out for a week, how do we replace our big names? And I think it's strong young talent in that place.
Well, that's what was good about last year, is that you were losing wide receivers. Sterling Shepard was the guy. And he goes down. Yeah, Golden Tate got injured as well. He wasn't suspended for the first few games and then got injured. But then Darius Slayton stepped up. Like you said, a young wide receiver, he stepped up, and now he's easily the number two, or maybe even the number one wide receiver in New York now. So I can see what you mean, where there needs to be strength in that position. It's my opinion for the Giants is the O-line needs a lot more work. But then again, you have had people sit out this year, opt out. But I still think it does need work. People are still holding question marks over Andrew Thomas, obviously the guy you picked in the 2020 draft. And I would like an explosion player. You bang on the money, I think. And I didn't really know it as much then, but I do now because I've seen him play and I'm a lot more knowledgeable on it. Obviously, you being a massive college football guy, me trying to educate myself on it. And an Isaiah Simmons-esque player would be perfect for you guys. Someone who's got that explosive element. Now, you really, really wanted him in the draft just gone by. Do you think there would be room for... I just think the Giants' defense is improving and it's looking good. But if you had someone lined up with Blake Martinez, who was just that younger, explosive, a bit like a Devin Bush character, I suppose, in that middle of the pack there, do you think that would be something they could target?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said it prior to the league starting, that we really needed an explosive defensive player. You've hit the nail on the head. We've got a couple of veteran backs in there now that are really, really strong. It'd be good to get a young, talented, explosive athlete that you could just say, look, we'll cover you all the zones. We'll do the hard work. You just go out and make the big plays. Use your athleticism, use your youth and make big plays. And I think there's definitely a couple of names in college that could fill that position, whether depending on our record and how we finish, whether they're still going to be on the board. But it's come the end of the year, I think there's definitely going to be some names on there that we could really utilize and get alongside Martinez and really, really have that explosive player that you're on about.
Well, if the league ended today, you'd be the third or the fourth pick, I do believe. Is there any particular college player we should be looking at?
There's a lot of names. I know people aren't fully sold on us taking a quarterback with our first pick.
Yeah.
I'd say watch out for the Miami Hurricanes. They've got a big name. I'll let you do your research. I'll let you see who I'm talking about. But Miami Hurricanes have got the player that I want.
Well, I'll make sure to be YouTubing on the Miami Hurricanes after the show. And I encourage everyone to go and have a look at college games now and try and see some of these players that are going to be coming through in the draft, because there are some exciting names. I've been sort of researching by playing Madden and then using draft classes that have been made by players who play Xbox, and they're like real life ones. So I'm getting some of their names now. I'm educating myself. I know the Jalen Waddles. I know the I've completely lost every name in my head now, but I know some players. Yeah, I think I know. There's who else is there that I know? Gregory Russo, that's a player.
Yep, there you go. There's the Miami Hurricane.
Is it? Well,
the nail on the head.
Well, there should be some good players coming out in the 2021 draft, even though it might be a bit of a crazy one again. Maybe they'll come out on boats this year in Las Vegas rather than doing it over the Zoom calls like we had this year. Anyway, after the break, we're gonna talk about a couple of normal NFL stuff, I think, and then we're going to have a look at, if the season ended today, what the playoff picture would look like and what my and Andrew's route to the Super Bowl would look like. So that's going to come up after the break. Cool, right. Well, we're going to have a look at them playoff picture in the minute. Mate, I'm going to give you a couple of curveball questions, Andrew, about the NFL so far this year. So what team has excited you most when you've been watching them? What team's been catching your eye on Red Zone?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's, you always say fantasy plays a big part, but when you do the fantasy section of a podcast, it's very easy to swerve your the teams you want to watch and the players you want to watch on that. But I think for me, and I know I've always liked them and I've always enjoyed watching them, the team that's really sort of surprised me and I've really enjoyed watching is the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah. I just think that their offense is so explosive and so talented, and they're so diverse, and the head coach there, Sean McVay, just really has remodeled himself and taken that like Super Bowl loss on the chin and really coming back with a bit of vengeance. So I really enjoy watching them. I think it's one of those teams that I've got a bit of a soft spot for. So I really enjoy watching the talent that they've got.
Is there a team that you thought was going to do well at the start of the year and maybe hasn't done well, or vice versa? Was there a team that you thought were going to be bad and have actually been really successful this year?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of teams that have disappointed me slightly. I think it's probably due to injuries and things like that. The Denver Broncos is one of them. I thought they were going to be really pushing for a playoff run this year. And it's sitting at 3-5. I understand, obviously, losing a lot of key defenders, losing Drew Lock for a couple of weeks, losing Cortland Sutton before the season started properly. They've really underperformed, but I really like to see them now. They're getting their players back to fitness to show what I saw in them last year, back end of last year. They're one team that's disappointed me. I thought they were going to do a lot better. And I think the other one for me is the Minnesota Vikings, again, 3-5. So they're not completely out of it. And they have looked a lot more impressive over the last couple of weeks. They've won back-to-back games now. But with the talent that they've got, I'm really struggling to wonder why they haven't won more. But the other one on the flip side of that, the team that's, that I think has done over-impressed is the Chicago Bears. I think I had them projected at the start of season only winning maybe 2 or 3 games. I thought they were really going to struggle. And they've already won 5 games already. So they've already overachieved from what I thought they were going to do. And we're only halfway through.
Yeah, there's a lot of people have been disappointed by the Broncos, but I think when you lose big time players like Von Miller, I always said that I think they're a year away. I know a lot of people were very hot, but I've always thought they're a year away. Jerry Jeudy's really impressed. KJ Hamler's looked really good in the last few weeks as well. The Vikings, again, I didn't think the Vikings would have a successful year, but like you said, they're not like they've been bad. It's just they've not gone off the blocks. But they are looking better in the last few weeks. And the Chicago Bears, yeah, I don't really know what the formula is there. Maybe it's Matt Nagy, but they look like they're declining in the last few weeks, to say the least. Well, let's have a look at what would happen if the season ended today then, guys. Let's have a look at this. So I've done a breakdown of, I've checked out what the lines all are. We're halfway through the season now. If the season was to end tomorrow, we're going to look at what the wild card, the divisional game, the AFC Championship, NFC Championship and the Super Bowl may look like. I'm going to pick my teams. Andrew's going to pick his teams. So we'll start off with the AFC. So the wild card game, it'd be the Baltimore Ravens, going to the Tennessee Titans. It'd be the Las Vegas Raiders going to the Buffalo Bills. And it'd be the Miami Dolphins going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, The Raiders get in. They 5-3. They get in on a tiebreaker because they're 3-2 in the conference. I believe there's another team. It was the Colts. The Colts that could be getting in there, but the Raiders get in due to the conference tiebreaker. Obviously, the Steelers would be 8-0 on a bye week. Ravens are 6-2. Titans are 6-2. Raiders at 5-3. Bills at 7-2. Dolphins at 5-3. And Chiefs at 8-1. Fifth against fourth. Sixth against third. Seventh against second in the seeding there. Let's start with the Ravens v Titans game. What are you thinking of that one?
That's a tough one. Before the season started, I think that'd probably be an easy one to say for the Ravens. But I'm watching them each week with a team that I want to keep my eye on. And they're disappointing me slightly. They're not the team that I thought they were going to be. They're not as explosive as I thought they were going to be. I think they're very hit and miss at the moment. They either come in and look absolutely fantastic, like no one can stop them, or they just look a bit sloppy and a bit average. Whereas the Titans, for me, other than their one little slip-up, I'd say, they look to be rolling over teams. They look to be winning convincingly. They look like they're continuing from where they left off last year. So I'm going to go for the Titans winning that one.
I'm going to go for the Titans winning that one as well. However, I would say that the Ravens have, in the last 2 weeks, found a bit of form. I think they are going, their trajectory is going up. I don't think this offense has been bad. I think it's just not as maybe fun to watch as it was last year, as explosive as well. The Titans, yeah, have been really rolling and been really good. I don't think they've been convincing in every game. I mean, they could have beat the Steelers. I think they definitely should have beat the Steelers, really, if it weren't for the field goal at the end. But they have won games by just a field goal. So I've gone for the Titans, but I just think I maybe am going off the bias of last year's Titans rather than this year's Titans. But I think they have more of the grit to be able to get the job done. Then we've got the Raiders against the Bills. A very, very interesting game that would be in the playoffs.
Yeah, for me, that's easily the Bills. Although the Raiders have, as you said earlier, have managed to mix it with the big boys and play and look competitive in big games, the Bills for me just look way too strong. And I think if it comes down to it and it's a do or die game, I just think the Bills know how to get the job done. And I think the Raiders maybe it's going to be new to them being in those big games afterwards in the playoffs. So I think the Bills have got a year on them and they'll know how to win a playoff game.
I think I've ticked the Raiders, but now I'm going to go for the Bills. I'm going to change my mind stupidly because Raiders, you have to go to the cold, obviously, of Buffalo. And you're right. I just feel with Buffalo, 1 week they're just sensational and Josh Allen's incredible. And then the next week, they just don't look like they know how to play offense. And it's this switch of, it's just really bipolar. It's just very, it's really hot 1 week and it's really cold next. But they have had the running theme of in big games, in big moments, they have dominated and they've been really good. By the skin of their teeth in a lot of them games, I do admit. But like you said, when it comes to a do and die situation, when it comes to the grit, the Bills have had it, and a lot of the Raiders players are new to going into the playoffs, bigger stage. Is their team as a collective better than the Bills? No, they've maybe got some more game players and people like Henry Ruggs. Nelson Aguilar seems to has had a renaissance over in Vegas. Darren Waller, obviously an incredible player, but the Bills, I do think, have the grit to go and win that game. The Dolphins at the Kansas City Chiefs. I think an easy one here, but Andrew, explain to me, why is it an easy one?
I think the Chiefs probably are the best team to match yourself against in the NFL at the moment. I think they are the most complete team, they're the most convincing team. Their quarterback is just something else. I think he's a great talent, and the players he's got around him, he brings them on and makes them look fantastic as well. And the Dolphins, although a very impressive record at 5-3, I'm not convinced by them yet. I don't even know whether they're still going to be in that position come the end of the season. Tua looked good last game. But yeah, I think the Chiefs have got to be favourites to get to the the championship game.
Yeah, I've gone for the Chiefs as well. Again, the Dolphins, at this point, they're lucky to slip in to get into that position. But the Chiefs are so dominant. I mean, they've got the best player in the league in Patrick Mahomes. You know, you can't say anything more there, can you, really? Let's have a look at then the divisional matchup that would be then. It would be the Steelers against the Titans, and then it would be the Bills against the Chiefs. It would be Bills going to the Chiefs, and then the Titans going to the Steelers. What do you reckon there?
So which one are we going for first?
We'll go for the Chiefs game first. So that would be the Bills at the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game. I mean, looking at those teams you've just said, they're all going to be very interesting games. They've got some really talented teams in there. Again, I can't see someone beating the Chiefs. I think the Bills will give it a good go. But yeah, it's Chiefs for me again on that one.
I'd go for the Chiefs as well. Just better. They're just better. I know Bills have come up clutch in big games, but I think we don't give the Chiefs defense enough credit. It should get a lot more credit than it does. You've got Patrick Mahomes. They are the AFC Championship favorites, really, and probably Super Bowl favorites. They were at the start of the year. They're still going to be now. They're a brilliant team. I think just class and talent will overdo the Bills at this point. And then you have the Titans going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. My Pittsburgh Steelers, for that fact.
Yeah, oddly, despite the fact that their game was very close in the season, with I think it's an easy win for the Steelers. I think the Titans rely heavily on the run game, although they have proved that Tannehill can throw the ball and they've got some very talented wideouts. I think the Steelers defense is equipped to beat the Titans. I just feel like if any team is equipped to beat them, it is the Steelers. And their offense has impressed me. I think it's been really good. I think Big Ben's looked good. I think James Conner's been better this year. And I think the wide receiver trio that they've got there and Eric Ebron coming along. I think, I think the Steelers win that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Steelers as well, obviously being my team. But at the same time, I do think they have the tools to beat the Titans. That defensive front can stop Derrick Henry. I have no issue with that. I think it's one of the only defensive fronts that can stop Derrick Henry in the league at the minute. I just worry about our secondary at the moment. And they have got some decent players, and Tannehill can throw the ball. AJ Brown is very capable of it. Yes, it was a close game between us last time. Whether we both learn from it, I don't know. Maybe one team learns better than the other, and that's what wins them the game. But I think at this moment, the Steelers are a better team than the Titans. So that would give us an AFC Championship game of the Kansas City Chiefs going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So who are you going for in this matchup? Who's going to the Super Bowl?
Just because I think it's time, I'm going to say the Steelers beat them. And it's not because you're a Steelers fan.
Wow, I'm a little bit surprised by that.
It's not going to get you on side. I just think it's one of those years, like the year that the Ravens won the Super Bowl. I just think it's the story of the Steelers and their franchise and, you know, Big Ben and everything he's been through, and then to be the player that he is now. I just think it's one of those years where he could get to the Super Bowl, he could win it, and, you know, like Ray Lewis. And I think it's just going to be one of those years. Whereas the Chiefs, just at the minute, sort of go through the steps of winning games because they're that good. I just think it means more to the Steelers this year. So that's why I'm picking them.
And weirdly, the Steeler fan is not picking the Steelers. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. I just think our secondary is not good enough to cope with the Chiefs' offense. I think they're too good. And Patrick Mahomes, even under pressure, is still incredible. And yeah, that defensive front for the Steelers can put a lot of pressure on the Chiefs, but I think Patrick Mahomes is still so good under pressure, and that's our secondary has not been as good this year as it was last year. It's all about that defensive front, and the Chiefs have a decent offensive line, and the Chiefs defense is given a lot more, it should have a lot more credit, like I said earlier. But it would be an interesting matchup. It'd be a really cool matchup seeing, not, you know, Chase Claypool coming up against Tyrann Mathieu. Chris Jones, obviously a very good defensive lineman, coming up against our offensive line that's been pretty solid. I think they would shut down our run game, which means going to the air. And do I trust Big Ben to be able to win us that game at the moment? I don't think so. I just think Patrick Mahomes is just the superior quarterback, and I think it might show in this game. So that would be a Super Bowl of me, the Chiefs, and you, the Steelers. So let's have a look at the NFC side of things. So the New Orleans Saints would be on a bye week with 6-2. This is just laughable, but to begin with, anyway. Tampa Bay at 6-3, the fifth seed, against going to the Philadelphia Eagles at 3-4-1 as the fourth seed. The sixth seed Cardinals going 5-3 would go against the third seed Green Bay Packers, who are 6-2. And then the LA Rams, the seventh seed, 5-3, going up against Seattle Seahawks, who are 6-2, the second seed. Three NFC West teams all going to the playoffs, which is very impressive. I think the NFC West for me is the best division in football at the minute. Let's start off with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I think that's a bit of a no-brainer. I think that's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're an impressive unit. They've looked good in games this year, whereas I think the Eagles have struggled to get their three wins, and they haven't been convincing in those three wins either. I think it's the more polished unit of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning that one.
Yeah, I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rolling over the Eagles. That defense, yes, it was really poor against the Saints the other night, but every other game has been so explosive, and I don't think the Eagles will be able to cope with it, especially with the amount of injuries they have on the offensive line. Their defense is no great shakes either, and they've got some such weapons. The Arizona Cardinals going to the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, a tough one, but the Packers have been very impressive this year. They've been a team that's impressed me more than what I thought I was going to be by them. And Aaron Rodgers looks like he's got a point to prove. So I just think, although the Cardinals have looked really, really strong, and their defense has been impressive and keeping them in games, on form at the moment, I'm just going Packers.
I'm going to go Packers as well, but I have been on the Cardinals train a large portion of this season. I said they would be a sneaky team for the playoffs at the start of the year. I think they need one more year, and then they are potentially an NFC Championship team in my book. But the Green Bay Packers have just been a lot better. Aaron Rodgers is still just as incredible. I think that defense will struggle against Kyler Murray, and it might be a real close game, but Aaron Rodgers has been there, done that with these sort of teams, and I think they've got the minerals there to go and beat the Cardinals, who just need one more year, I think. And it would be the first playoff run for Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, and other players on that team. Then we have the LA Rams going to the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, that's not a matchup I wanted it to be. Just in this conversation, I've already championed the Rams a little bit and really like them. But that Seahawks team, just Russell Wilson's, he's like Patrick Mahomes, he's just another level. He can win games regardless of who's on the roster. I know they've struggled lately with losing every single running back, some key defenders. Their defense doesn't look as strong as I thought it would be. I think it might be a close game and a real good tussle. I'd love to say the Rams, but I think the Seahawks have got it.
I'm going to go for the Seahawks as well. Again, I'm in the same boat as you, man. Russell Wilson is just so incredible. He's so much fun to watch. And even when this team's rubbish, he's incredible. He's carried Seattle on his back for so many years and he's been underappreciated for it. And when we talk about MVP later, it's no spoiler alert because I've championed it a lot of times. He's my pick. I think the Rams would have a real good go at Seattle. But it depends how Seattle's defense, if obviously we're talking about season ends today, so Seattle's defense wouldn't look great. It may be a closer game with that Rams offense. But Russell Wilson is such a great quarterback. That would have a divisional game of the Green Bay Packers going to the Seattle Seahawks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the New Orleans Saints, a replay of the game from last night. So Green Bay Packers at the Seattle Seahawks.
Packers at Seahawks. I'm putting them in the same category as the Chiefs for this side of the NFL. So although again it's going to be a good tussle, I think Russell Wilson's got it and he's going to push his team. So yeah, it's the Seahawks again.
I completely agree. I'm also in the Seattle Seahawks boat. I just don't think Green Bay has enough to push them over the line. You can't rely on Aaron Rodgers throughout the whole of it. Their defense does need to turn up, and Seattle can just turn people's defense into mush. Russell Wilson's so good at that. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. It's just such fun to watch. And then we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going against the New Orleans Saints in a playoff scenario. Is it going to be a blowout like it was the other night?
Definitely not. I think Buccaneers are going to come back with a new strategy, a new game plan. Although I think the Saints have been very quietly going about their business. They didn't look overly impressive at the start of the year, but they've won, five games back-to-back now, and they've looked very impressive in all those games. I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. Is it going to be another one where it goes to the wire and the Saints get knocked out on a pass interference call again? maybe. But I think the Saints have just got enough to win that one. Although I would like to say the Buccaneers.
I would like to say the Buccaneers too, but I'm going to go for the Saints as well. I think the only factor in this game is it's Drew Brees' probably last Super Bowl chance with New Orleans before he rides off into the sunset. I don't think next year it's going to happen. I think this is the final year for him to finally push, much like the Steelers with Big Ben. I think that's the final push. I think it's the same thing for Drew Brees, and I think they'll be desperate to get there. However, it would not shock me if there was another blown call that ruined the Saints' year, as it always does. So that gives us an AFC Championship of Seahawks against the Saints then.
Yeah. For some reason, it seems like an easy one for me. I've just really think it's the Seahawks year to go through this. And I think they are an impressive unit. I think their coach is incredible. And I think he'll just know what to do at the right times. He's been there. He's done it. He knows what he's doing. So it's the Seahawks for me. I think it'll be, I'm not quite sure on the sort of how it'll finish. But if the Seahawks have got, it's the Saints got home advantage, isn't it?
Yes.
I think the Seahawks will do it. Just pip them.
I'm going to go the Saints on this one just because I think it's the last Super Bowl they'll have with Drew Brees. I think it'll be the final push. I think their defense is actually really underrated and really good. And like you said, they've quietly been going about their business. Not by much, but I think if any team can do it, because they've done it to other teams this year, they can shut down Seattle. It just depends what Saints team you get on the day. I think they can be really hot and cold in the playoffs. But that would leave me a Super Bowl of the Chiefs against the Saints. And your Super Bowl would be Seahawks against the Steelers. So why don't you talk me through the Seahawks against the Steelers, and then I'm going to go for the Chiefs v. the Saints.
I'm going to go... This is a real tough one for me. It's the quarterback that I think, spoiler alert, has been my MVP for the last 2 years against the team that I'd really love to see win the Super Bowl again with the team they've got of the Steelers. But before the season started, I tipped the Seahawks to be in the Super Bowl. So I'm going to stick with my guns and I'm going to stay with the Seahawks winning it.
Oh, how crushed I would be if that is the Super Bowl.
If that is the Super Bowl, that'd be perfect for you. That, you know, the team that you love against the team you've got a soft spot for, you'd be loving it.
I would, yeah. No, I wouldn't actually mind it too much. And also, my thing always this year has been it's AFC Championship or bust. So, I'd be happy to get to the Super Bowl. It'd be the first time in the time that I've supported the Steelers, if I've seen them in a Super Bowl or even gone this far. So, it would be great for myself. But again, I do have a soft spot for the Seattle Seahawks and for Russell Wilson at that point. I would have the Chiefs against the Saints. No surprise here. I'm going to go the Kansas City Chiefs. I just think Patrick Mahomes is just so good. He's just magic against anyone he's against. Again, this Chiefs defense is a lot better than people think. I think they'd shut down the Saints. A close game, maybe. But Patrick Mahomes has performed on the biggest stage every time. He's done so well. This might be just a fact of Drew Brees just being that bit older and not capable of being able to throw the long ball. I know they're so good at doing the slants and just them little yards getting them up the field, but I think the Chiefs are a defense that would stop you from doing that. So I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs here winning the Super Bowl. So you've got the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl. I've got the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. A little bit of a different route to the Super Bowl, but both very believable scenarios, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think the matchup you've got in the final could stand to be maybe a better game. I think I wouldn't mind watching Seahawks versus the Chiefs in a final either. Watching Wilson against Mahomes would be just the perfect end to the season for me.
It'd probably be one of the best Super Bowls in recent history, I think. Like, if you look at quarterback matchup to matchup, like, that's
yeah, definitely.
Thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, all right, we've already given the game away. Who is our MVP at this point in the season?
It's for me, it's Russell Wilson.
It's always Russell Wilson.
It's just, we say it every year between us. He puts that team on his back and he comes out and he's just an absolute magician. And I'm not sure, you know, he started the season off throwing like, what, five touchdowns. It's just so impressive to watch, especially with the team that he's got. It's not superstar after superstar after superstar. They've got some real talented players, but he gets the best out of them. And he is the Seattle Seahawks for me.
Yeah, he is Mr. Seattle. And I think it's a bit of a joke that he's not won it before. I don't really get how he's never won MVP before.
Yeah. Well, I had him as my MVP last year. But, you know, I think he narrowly missed out, I'd say. But I think, he was my MVP last year, and he's only picked up from where he was last year into this year.
Russell Wilson, God, I love Russell Wilson so much. I could talk about him all day. Anyway, that was a real good, fun look at what if the playoffs happened today. Real great fun having Andrew chatting about that. Well, after the break, we're going to go into fantasy football with Andrew. He's going to tell us about his players from the waiver wire, etc. All things fantasy football coming up after the break. Okay, Andrew, I'm going to give you the floor. All things fantasy football. You know, we're going to chat a little bit about fantasy, but we've got about 10 minutes left, so we're going to go through all your bits and bobs for fantasy football this week.
Okay. Let's start off with the waiver wire then. I think it's something that's been a challenge every week to put some players with how many injuries we've got and looking to fill those key positions. Obviously, the bye weeks are real key at the moment. So I'm going to give you two running backs, two wide receivers and a quarterback to try and help with the bye weeks and injuries. And I think one of them that you want to look at is Duke Johnson, the running back from the Houston Texans. With it looking like that David Johnson may go into concussion protocol, having left the game last week. I think Duke Johnson, who is a veteran name at the back, so he knows what he's doing, and he's filling in a team that knows how to run the ball with both the quarterback and the running backs being predominant runners. He filled in nicely with 41 yards and a touchdown and 32 receiving yards and another touchdown. And I think that's really impressive for someone just to come into a game and be the lead back and showed that he could be a lead back to support Russell Wilson. So Duke Johnson's the first one on the waiver wire for me. The next running back I have on the waiver wire is Keelan Ballard. We lost Justin Jackson in the game for the Chargers. Without him even making an attempt at a run. And although everyone thought that Joshua Kelly would instantly take that role up, we've seen that Joshua Kelly hasn't been reliable as an RB1. And Keelan Ballard really stepped up and proved that he could slot in this team. It was his first time playing properly in the first team, straight off the bat into the NFL side. So he's definitely one to watch. You've got to watch day by day Justin Jackson's health. I think that'll play a big part in it. But if Justin Jackson is held out any longer with his injury, Kylan Ballage is a good support role for that. Moving on to the wide receivers, I think first up for me, it's a player we've just mentioned, and it's Nelson Agholor, the wide receiver from the Las Vegas Raiders. Nelson Agholor is someone that both myself and Freddie kind of wrote off as being a top player. But I think, as Freddie said earlier, he's really found himself at Las Vegas. I think he's had a touchdown in his last four consecutive games, recording sort of over an average of 50 yards each of those games and pulling up a big number against Tampa Bay and having 100 yards in that game. I think he holds fantasy value now. And with how well Derek Carr's playing, he's, his numbers, I think, are only going to improve. I think he's outshining the rookie Henry Ruggs at the moment. So he's definitely one to pick up using the flex and use as an option if you have players on bye week. Okay, next up at the wide receiver position is Jacoby Myers, the wide receiver for the New England Patriots. It's a name that I mentioned last week, and it was a name that I said, keep an eye on him. He's been really impressive. His targets were up to 10, 11 targets a week. And he was one that I very nearly picked up off the waiver wire myself and put him in, playing an easy matchup against the Jets last week. But he really impressed with 169 yards and 28 fantasy points. He's the main target for Cam Newton. They seem to gel well. So he's definitely one to get and keep him on your bench, use him in the matchups. I think the Patriots have got some games coming up that he could really, really potentially produce those high 20 plus score points. So Jacoby Myers is the wide receiver. And on to your quarterback position. If you're struggling and you've got someone out, then, or as we've recently found out, some maybe possibly in the COVID protocol, I think Drew Lock is going to be a safe option for you to pick up at the quarterback position. Looking healthy now, back off of his injury, I think his stats have been really impressive. He's throwing well over 200 yards in every game. I think the last two games, he's really, really stepped up when his team's been on the ropes and he's been rushing the ball well and throwing the ball well. He's got a really good connection with his rookies, and Jerry Jeudy looks to be gelling really well with him. So I only look to see Drew Lock being a safe option every week from now on. Okay, that's it for me for the waiver wire targets. It's probably Freddie's favourite section of sit 'em, start 'em. So I'm going to go on to the quarterbacks to start off with. And my first start at the quarterback position is Jared Goff going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Jared Goff has been really impressive all year, despite his poor performance before the bye week. I think he's had time to reflect on that in the bye week. And he's going up against a Seattle team that's really struggled on defense this year. I think he's his play action passes are the most in the league from any quarterback. And I think the wide receiver core there is just too talented, and he's going to put up some good numbers. My next start at the quarterback position is Tom Brady. I know it's probably a bit of an obvious one. Not everybody's got him started, but I wanted to try and steer away from the big names and have someone that you might have a 50-50 with, have his performances have not looked fantastic over the last couple of weeks. And he's going up against the Carolina Panthers. I think he's going to have a bounce back week. We've seen it before when he bounced back. And he bounced back well. So I think you're going to see multiple touchdowns from him, him taking that Buccaneers team, not relying on the defense as they have done, and him making it his team. And big points for him this week. Okay, my two quarterbacks to sit this week. First up is Joe Burrow going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think this is the first time Joe Burrow is going to face a defense that's going to be at him all game. I think he's going to have the big guys down his throat all game. Although he's been very impressive and showed he can handle that, I just think that O-line just isn't strong enough against this Pittsburgh team, and he's going to struggle, and it might lead to him throwing some wayward passes. So he's a sit for me this week. My other sit this week is a bit of an odd one. It's Carson Wentz going up against the New York Giants. I think the New York Giants defense has looked very impressive over the last couple of weeks, and their turnovers and takeaways have only been getting more and more each week. I don't think this Philadelphia team is as impressive as it has been in previous years, and I think that's only going to spur the Giants on more to get at him and make him make mistakes. So Carson Wentz is a sit for me this week. On to your running backs. First up for the start is James Conner against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think he's a start for me this week because there's talks of Big Ben going into the COVID protocol. So I think they're going to rely heavily on the run game early doors in this game. And I think if James Conner can cement a good run game against this Cincinnati team that hasn't been, Cincinnati defense that hasn't been overly impressive, I think they'll use him quite a bit in the catching game as well. I think we're going to see him out of the backfield. So James Conner is a must start for me. Also, at the running back position, I've got Josh Jacobs as a must start this week versus the Denver Broncos. I think he's been really impressive again this year, and I think he's the key factor to the Las Vegas Raiders really, really pushing for that playoff position. I think he's going to be used, again, equally, as I said, for Conner in the rush and the catch, which he has improved in a lot. He's going to play against a Denver team that's got some points to prove. They have looked good at defense at points, but I think Jacobs is just another talent that they can use. My sit for this week is Wayne Gorman, the running back from the New York Giants, going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. There's talks of Devontae Freeman coming back into the fold this week. And although Gorman has handled the workload over the last 3 weeks and been playing well and a bit more impressive than I thought he was going to be, I think if he's going to split carries with Devontae Freeman, and Devontae Freeman, if he picks up where he left off, I think we're going to see a decline in fantasy value from Wayne Gorman. Okay, my other sit for this week is Jonathan Taylor, the running back from the Indianapolis Colts, going up against the Tennessee Titans. The last couple of weeks, we've seen an increase in snaps for Jordan Wilkins, and this has really affected Taylor's fantasy value. And I think, again, they've got a three-headed back at that Colts defense offense now, with having the impressive pass catcher of Nyheim Hines, the big back of Taylor and Wilkins to support the two of them. I think when you've got three backs that all play well and all have fantasy value at some point, it's very hard to pinpoint which one to start which week. I think Tennessee is a week to throw the ball, so I think it's definitely a sit for Jonathan Taylor this week. Okay, on to your wide receivers. First up, it's Cooper Kupp, wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams. They're going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Again, as I had Jared Goff as a start at the quarterback position, I've noted that Kupp is probably going to be his main target this game. He's a very diverse player. They use him in the slot and as a speedster down the outside. He's got a great relationship with Goff, and they do target him quite a lot in the red zone. So he's a must start for me. Also, a start for me is Devontae Parker, going up against the Los Angeles Chargers. I think now with Tua coming into the fold, Miami's team is slightly more diverse, and I think that's going to free up these wide receivers, not knowing whether Tua is going to run or pass the ball. We saw Preston Williams go down with an injury, which I think automatically promotes Devontae Parker to the wide receiver one, going up against a Chargers team that's struggled despite the fact it has some very talented cornerbacks. They've given up some big yards to wide receivers. So Devontae Parker is my pick for that Miami team. Okay, my sits at the wide receiver position is Larry Fitzgerald, the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, going up against the Buffalo Bills. As I've said previously, Larry Fitzgerald's targets and value each week seem to be decreasing more and more as we see the likes of Andy Isabella and Christian Kirk coming more into the fold alongside DeAndre Hopkins. I think with that many explosive young talent, Fitz is only going to be there as a security blanket and a go-to option when he really needs someone to throw the ball to. So for me, although he's a great talent for the Arizona team, his fantasy value just isn't there for me, so he's a sit for me. Also at the wide receiver position, a sit for me this week is Henry Ruggs III going up against the Denver Broncos. I think he's being outshone by the other receivers at that team. I had high hopes for him being their best receiver this year, but Nelson Agholor, as we said earlier, looks rejuvenated, and the likes of Hunter Renfro, who had a really good season last year, has only proven that he can do it again this year. And with Darren Waller, the tight end, looking more like a wide receiver and a big option in the passing game, Henry Ruggs' value sort of has dropped slightly for me. So he's definitely a sit for me this week.
Smashing. Well, it was great stuff by Andrew there. Really enjoyed it. Hopefully this week I'll get some wins in our fantasy league that we're in. I got a loss last week. Damn you, Jacoby Myers. Is that why he picked him up, Jacoby Myers, because of you?
I hope so. I hope someone's listening and taking my advice. I'm gutted I didn't take him myself. I think it would have given me a win if I picked him. I was 50-50 with Sterling Shepard and Jacoby Myers of who to go in for. And I had Sterling Shepard on my team and I just didn't see some space to put Myers in. But boy, I wish I had. I watched him last year in preseason, and he was getting targeted left, right, center by Jarrett Stidham, and those two had a great combination together. I'm just so happy that he's finally got his chance to prove himself as an NFL wide receiver.
Well, I could have done it not against the Jets and done it against me to lose the game, but it's okay. I don't hold it against you, Jacoby Myers. It's okay. Well, thank you very much, Andrew, for coming on and joining me. I really appreciate you coming on, my friend.
Yeah, loved it. Always love to talk NFL with you, Fred. Always brings up some great conversations. So, it's great to be back on the podcast as a co-host with you rather than just the fantasy section. So I've loved every minute of it.
Awesome, man. Well, if you want to listen to more Franchise Tag podcast episodes, you can go onto iTunes podcast where you can leave a rating and a review, and we are on Spotify as well. But if you don't have any platforms, you can find all our episodes on our website, www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. Find us on social media, Franchise Tag podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and on Twitter with the handle Franchise Tag UK. Give us a follow there. Have a great week. I know we're in isolation, we're in lockdown. Yeah, you can't have your mates over, but it's okay. Just FaceTime during the game. It's like they're there anyway. Get the beers in, get the snacks in. Just enjoy yourself, relax, and you can watch every single game because we're pretty much all on furlough. So, you know, you can just sit there and enjoy them all. You don't have to worry about work and the hangover. And even if you have got work, you're going to be working from home, so still having the hangover, no one's going to know. Anyway, have a good weekend, guys. Enjoy the NFL, and we'll see you all next week.